I'm just going to start the recording here. Welcome to the 5G use case team meeting for April 30. So today we have a few topics lined up, mostly going to, or at least I'd like to talk about the architecture subcommittee presentations coming up, and our web pages, and Vimal may have other topics to discuss. So Vimal, did you else, you can lead off if there's something you want to discuss specifically?
No, I think we need to just focus on Gulland release. The Frankfurt has release date has been moved up by, you know, moved out by 1 week. So I think it's now June 4th or so.
Oh, really? Okay. Last I checked, it was
March 28th, and then I think they added 1 week.
I see. They added another week. Okay. I wonder what that's going to happen to, because, you know, the interesting thing is I was talking to Timo, who's planning the next June face-to-face. That's only a month away. And if it feels like that if...
So they did talk about that, and they said that we will talk about it a little later, maybe next week. It's quite likely that they could... Catherine didn't seem too concerned, but other people were concerned that, you know, having on the same week as their release date, some people will be busy finishing their release. So I don't know, but they might revisit. But the only thing I heard is that Frankfurt has been moved out by a week.
Yeah, I see that now. Interesting. Okay.
The other thing we probably want to ask people is to really start thinking about how we want to do architecture reviews for the things that somehow we can coordinate so that we don't have disconnected related topic and be reviewed together. So that's another thing.
Sure. Yeah, that's something I want to talk about also. So I just wanted to let people know that I have put a link to the page for R5 use case page, which is off of the main Guilin use case page. So I should probably put a, here. Okay, so you can get to a direct link here. I'll just put this in the chat here for people. So just socializing, basically we got, put under the architecture subcommittee, which is kind of what we wanted. There was some confusion at first where our pages and stuff should lie and where they should be and stuff. So so basically we have now put, so I negotiated with Chalker and he said that's fine that we can be under the architecture pages because Ala Goldner wanted to focus everything basically purely on, you know, really high level kind of just business level input requirements. So she suggested that the level of detail that we have in our pages and stuff is more oriented towards implementation and architecture. And I said, that's fine. So she suggested putting everything under architecture, which is great. I don't have a problem with that at all. So we've, Chalker is kind of restructuring some of this stuff. And the reason why is because there's a lot of really key pages under this TSC thing under getting involved. You know, like the architecture subcommittee, you see, he said, please note the location, da da da. So he's restructuring some of this stuff. And Kenny is aware, when I last talked to Kenny, he said, well, let's just move this up one level. And I said, that's a great idea. So I think he's going to do that at some point. So anyway, this page now is open for you guys to edit and add stuff off of. So if you just go to the link that I pointed to you in the in the chat, I think you can go there and add your, you know, pages that you want. So what I would suggest actually is also if you go scroll down to the bottom of this page, you'll see I put in a number of useful links. Their way of working that we're that we're working on. So at the realization call, we're kind of talking about this some more, but we've sort of started discussing how the use case team should work and the process and stuff. So at some point we'll finish that, and it just details all the steps that we should go through when we do stuff at each job. The use case template, this is the template that I would use to start your pages. So this should be familiar to you. So basically this is the basic template that's been updated with discussions from R6 and Andy Mayer, adding in the more traditional things you would fill in for a use case. So the only thing that might be new to you is this sort of table down here of use case functional definitions, but the other stuff should be pretty familiar to you. And you should already have your business driver stuff filled in already, because that, because if you've made your presentations, that's something that you should have already done. So that should be just a cut and paste for you. Okay. Let's see. So, there is going to be a modeling discussion with the modeling team on May 13th. So that's going to happen. Excuse me. That's going to happen at the realization call. So the modeling page is open already. So if you know you have modeling impacts, I would highly suggest that you get in here and edit it. Again, everything is off of the link that I put in the chat here, so you can find everything that I'm navigating through here from there. I know, for example, you know, the end-to-end network slicing will have impact, the service model obviously has impact, and yeah, we know certain things already have impact. If you even think you have impact, I would suggest that you put it in here and, you know, go to the or attend either the March 13th use case realization call, which is gonna be May 13th.
Yeah, you said March.
May 13th. So the May 13th call with the modeling leads, the PTL, and Annie Mayer from AT&T is one of the main people in the modeling subcommittee.
So even if we haven't gone to the architecture committee yet?
Yeah. So part of your architecture review is stuff related to modeling, and we'll come to that. Yeah. So in fact, that's kind of the next topic. So the architecture reviews will be happening, and I've been in meetings with architecture plus modeling, and both those teams are cooperating together kind of in this early phase right now. They want to make sure that the teams are kind of working together to basically identify modeling stuff during the architecture reviews. So you'll see, it's a good segue. So this is the thing I couldn't find yesterday, but I just put it in the on directory. So I made a slide pack for the things that I'm working on. However you guys want to do this, you can join the slide pack or you can make your own. I've got four presentations I need to make for service modeling, the configuration personally service, for pre-onboarding, plug and play, and CPP2 stuff. So I'll show you, if you go to that link, this is what's on that template page. So you need to give a brief project overview. You need to talk about where your new component capabilities are and functional enhancements if applicable. New or modified interfaces, and are those interfaces backwards compatible, interface naming, APIs that you're using from other projects. And here we mean platform projects, like, for example, AI, VCE, ESO, et cetera, okay? not like the end-to-end network slicing project, right? Published APIs that your team will be using. and or that your team will be publishing for other things in ONAP to use, references to interfaces, and then here's that whole thing that basically this is a result of discussions with Andy. So basically these are things related to these are things related to modeling, identifying the high level information model requirements, and this is the page that the link that I just showed you. So then models based on information exchanges from use cases, models documenting existing implementations, forward-looking models that may be implemented in future releases, and describing how those exposed APIs are mapped to information models, and then other details. So I'll put this slide pack in the today's call so you can download it. So basically, you can kind of see what I'm doing. I have just a slide for an overview, and we have overview slides for all of our use cases, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel because we just presented these at the virtual face-to-face. So I did split this up into a thing for description and the business drivers section, and I have another slide for overview. There might be more additional overview stuff. And then I have two sections for this new component capabilities, and maybe this isn't such a good, let me find an example that actually has component function impact. Okay, so for example, the configuration persistency service, a description of what it is, its business drivers, additional slide just for overview basically, so this is kind of also an overview item. And then here's the component impact, so new component capabilities. And this is the, I split this, so this is a little unique because the CPU, the configuration persistency service kind of has two efforts going on. One is this new component work, making itself a new component versus sort of making sure that we have something to deliver that's meaningful in R6, which may mean just extending the R6 work. But you'll probably just have one section. I think the other projects will have just one section. Okay, and then things that you may, interfaces that you're using or depend on here, or that you have impact to. In this case, I think we're just using existing interfaces, but we will be, the configuration persistency service will provide a new API. So that's something that's new that's being developed. And I believe there'll be some modeling impact as well. And then I drew a timeline here because during the project proposal that we made to the TSC, it became clear, and Joanne raised the point that basically, I think people were getting a little confused with, they thought everything, all of this was going to happen all at once, which it's not. And it's important to show that in R7, this new project, if it gets off the ground, is just going to be doing just some really simple access and storing configuration data related to a few use cases. So it's not meant to do everything in that project proposal. And we're just following the template, but the template basically has you describe the entire project in its entirety, like it's kind of, and it looks like you're solving world hunger, which I wanted to be clear that we're not. Okay, is there any questions? Let's pause there for a moment.
Yeah, Ben, just a clarification question for this template that the architecture review, is that something that we need to organize our slide for the template, or is that some wiki page we need to fill in?
So this is, there's no wiki page you fill in. If you follow this link, I'll put it in the chat for you. And you can also just follow the link that I've already put in the chat, but this is the direct link to it. So this is the template that Chakra created. And basically, this is the information that I have here, right? So you can do however you want to, present your, but you can create it. You can do whatever you want for your presentation. You can follow what I'm doing, or you can do something else. Maybe I should have stepped back a second here. So these are all of the things that need to make presentations, right? So all of the Guilin release functional requirements proposed list, these are all presentations that people have made to ALA's subcommittee, right? So we have been discussing over the past couple of weeks how these presentations might go in the architecture subcommittee. Shankar left it open to you if you want to combine some of your presentations, which is essentially what I'm doing, or not. You know, like there, Fred Oliveira from Verizon said, you know, I can combine some, I want to combine some of these into two presentations. He said, that's fine. If you don't have to combine yourself with any other presentation. So Marjan Bimal and Damian Oscar will probably present, you know, their own thing on their own item, right? But, I want to combine some of the stuff I'm working on together. So it's your choice how you want to do that. It's entirely up to you. What you do need to do, though, is essentially let Chakra know that you're ready to present. Otherwise, how would he know, right?
Thought he was just stepping through. So that's very confusing. We're supposed to tell him we're ready?
So both things are going to happen. So he's not exactly just stepping through these like I thought he was. He made that statement, I'm just stepping through these. And then this past Tuesday, 2 days ago, he said, well, maybe that doesn't make so much sense. So he kind of backtracked a little bit on that. But you do want to also let them know that you're ready, I think.
It's a Marge. It might be a good idea. We just, you know, as soon as we are ready, just let him know so he can schedule whichever week is appropriate. And if you need to coordinate harmonization with, let's say, A1 adapter extension, then we can work with Nicola to make sure that we combine these two and present it on the same day.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Well, we need to certainly review our material before we say we're ready, but we're close. We're very close. Yeah.
Sure.
And we have some time, actually, because as I said, I don't know what will be the impact, but Frankfurt release has been delayed by a week. That's now June 4th, so I don't think M0 will happen before June 4th. And architecture review has to be completed before M1, not M0, so we have some time.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So, and I'm attending the architecture meetings week to week, so I'll report back here, you know, what's going on. And so hopefully people won't be blindsided. And like Bimal says, we have some time. So let me see some other people joined the call. Okay. Any other questions on the architecture subcommittee reviews? All right. So one thing that I'm a little concerned about is that one of our 5G use cases, this 5G network resource management, hasn't made a presentation yet to ALA's subcommittee. I have gotten input from Yaoguang Wang, who gave me input in order to make the virtual face-to-face slides. So CMCC wants to do stuff, but maybe he's not too familiar with the process. I said, you need to present at ALA's call if you want to do something in R7. So I even went as far as creating a just a sort of template entry for him. And I've raised the issue on ALA's call, and I've tried to reach him a couple of times by email, and I haven't heard back. So I don't know I've done as much as I can to kind of prod him along to make sure this happens, hopefully he'll follow suit. Okay, but I think for the most part, all of our other use cases are in good shape. At least I think all of our other at least use cases have made presentations at least. So we have of Sun, the service modeling, the ONAP 3GPP and ORAN alignment, and the A1 adapter extension, the 5G NRM, this is the Yaoguang Wang's one. And then network slicing, the PM control extension, intent-based networking, and that's a new one, by the way. This intent-based networking one, they gave a presentation on that 2 weeks ago. Okay, and then a couple of PNF cases, some extensions in plug and play, pre-onboarding, software upgrade, And then general use cases, the configuration persistency service, CMPP2, and licensing management. So there are many other use cases as well, or what I would consider use cases. Let me see if I can find that thing here. So I didn't add things for those because what I'd kind of like to do is talk to some of these other people to see if they're just an atomic requirement or an actual collection of requirements that would form a use case. So I'm not too familiar with some of these, and I hesitate to kind of do stuff on the part of other people when they could do it themselves if they had the knowledge, right? So I've raised the awareness, I told people that all is called, this is what you should do. And so we'll see what happens. But most of the stuff, like maybe another topic might be the Etsy stuff. We have entries for all of these. I think we have entries for many of these, except for these new from Alessandro. We don't have something for the CNF thing. Sounds like it might be one as well. We have these already, the configuration persistency service and the PM data control extension. These testing ones, I'm not too sure if they're really appropriate, actually. MDOM should probably have one, actually. And licensing management, of course, is there already. So I can pretty confidently say MDOM should have one, but the other ones I'm not so sure about. Okay. Any questions on that? So in theory, if you were to click on this 5G link, you'd come to this page. And the reason why we have a separate page here is just purely for, it will become more obvious if you look at the page structure on the left column, the navigating structure. So this R7 use cases page is this higher level page, which has all of the R7 use cases. And then this basically collects, or is sort of intended to collect, the 5G use case things. So helped them create the intent-based network, but I can show you basically what should happen. For example, is that we should move to you just type in the thing in it and it auto pattern matches and it'll move to the right place. Okay. So basically all of our, what are the 5G use cases here? Oops, on PCI. All right. If there's other ones that, okay, so for example, the ONAP, ORAN, one should also move. And so the idea is that basically, at least structurally, it makes it a little easier to navigate. Let me just see what they're, I think the service modeling I made a page for. I'm sure I made a page for that. Let me just, it should be here actually. So, okay. So now you get a sense basically of the pages here. And you can see that nicely all the 5G use cases are sort of packaged together. And eventually I'll create a little nice table for these as well, of all the use cases. But I feel though right now, if I add it in there, it'll just be a pure duplicate of this table. So I kind of had a master table, and maybe even we don't make a table, just point back up to the main one, I'm not sure. But I feel it's kind of a duplication of information, which is probably not in general a great idea. But I like this sort of master page where it has an easy access to everything. Here's a description of all the 5G cases, and here's a link to all this stuff. What do people think? Any thoughts?
Looks reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So maybe the best is just, for a table of all the cases and links, go to the parent page. I think that might be I added this here just because it makes things easier to navigate on the left-hand pane. Same thing with the PNF use cases. There's also a page for the PNF use cases. Even though there's sort of nothing here, you're not generally going to get to this page either. I mean, I'm encouraging people to go to this place, which is the main sort of landing page, which has everything really nicely organized. But if you do happen to click on it, you get to essentially an empty page, and you might think, well, gee, what's this empty page about? But it's really there just to make the left-hand panel kind of show up nicely. Same thing with the use case realization meetings. There's a sort of parent page for that, and all of the meeting recordings and stuff are in one place. Okay. All right. So we talked about the architecture subcommittee presentations. I showed you the architecture directory tree. I just mentioned that the 5G NRM use case is the one that's sort of lagging behind, and you know it needs to make a presentation to Ala. So these architecture presentations, I think they're due, as Vimal says, by one, which is, let's see, that's quite a ways away. Let's see. So just get a rough sense of what that would be. So if M0 were 0 start, so it's about maybe a couple of weeks. So probably mid to late June, maybe, just as a rough indication. So probably BAM 1, which is about, say mid-June. Okay. So again, you have a little bit of time. And Tracker is only just talking about organizing them and how he's going to organize them. Oh, I can talk about that too. So I showed him this table, and on Ala's call, I helped Ala reorganize this table and to make it a little bit more readable. I said, this table is, she had just, the page was just a huge list of stuff, right? And it wasn't really organized. So I said, I'll help you organize this. I think it would be more manageable if you collected things by topic. So we spent half a meeting basically just grouping stuff together with the team, talking about where things should be grouped. If you think you should belong in another table, please, you can move yourself. So those are just the people who were present on the call, said, I think I should want to be here, I want to be there. So we created maybe I can help you see it by showing you a little bit. So we created a standards alignment table, which has the Etsy and harmonization use cases, 5G related topics, the XNF, PNF, ENF, ANF, CNF related use cases. There was a number of testing related topics, and then things that didn't quite fit into anything else. Okay. So those are the main topics. And the reason why Sharka kind of backpedaled and said, maybe I shouldn't just step through these, is because, first he was just going to use this table and just add a column to it. And I said, no, you shouldn't do that, because these are going to link to your requirements thing. On the architecture, I'm meeting with him this afternoon, we'll talk about it more, but basically, I think architecture should have its own table like this, with the list of the requirements, and then I think a column here that says, here's the date it was presented on, and maybe a link to its recording or slides or whatever, but basically a column with the date that you want to go on, basically want to present on. And then another column, he wanted to add a column to the REQ number. So if you look at previous releases, gotta find it. Let's take one second. Let's go fast, just go here, and then you go here. Okay, so if you look on this page, which is the project management and tracking page, everything that is worked on, whether it's a use case or atomic requirement, has a REQ ticket. So you're going to have to make a ticket for yourself if you're working on a use case or requirement eventually, right? and so Chakra wanted a kind of one-to-one mapping between that and the requirement, which there will be one. I told them there will be that, but it may not happen. I mean, in theory, it should happen by M1, I think. So I don't know that it will necessarily happen by the time you give the architecture presentation, though. So that's very team dependent, right? How kind of on the ball the team is. So he wanted to use that as, I guess, an index, maybe for his portal page or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, I told him that, you know, you may not necessarily have that by the time the team gives the presentation, but you certainly will by the time that they start really truly project managing, you know, by the time project management gets rolling on this release, they're gonna pound you for your requirement ticket. Also, this whole structure of, you know, we've been working these for many releases. I think this whole structure is might change. So I certainly wanted to find out more about that. So I'm having David McBride talk, I believe, next week. On May 6th. So he's going to talk about this potentially new Jira dashboard-based release management thing that he's thinking about. I'm not sure if he's going to implement in R7, but I think that's what he's thinking about, right? So so if you want to find out more about that or have any questions at all about the release management in R7, I would suggest you attend next Wednesday's May 6th realization call. Okay. Any questions on that? All right, so I think probably by this afternoon, I'll probably help Chakra make his architecture review page. The other thing he said that some things, I think in his mind, some things may be related across other things. So he wasn't sure what things would be related to another and might present together. So as an example, you know, I'm probably going to present all four of the things, four or five of the things that I'm working on together as a group, and they don't, you know, that's not necessarily just going straight down the list, right? So I'm on several different tables as an example, right? And there may be other cases like that too from different people. So if you are working on multiple things, or you want to group yourself together with something or not, just let Chakra know. Okay. So the read the docs stuff, Zhu has probably amongst us like the most experience with all the read the docs stuff. So he successfully navigated and created and submitted and changed and cloned and reviewed, Garrett reviewed and done everything to add new stuff into the read the docs. And I'm getting through it. So you'll see like the A1 adapter has a new entry, for example, among the new things, right, which is great. So the ones that we probably need entries on are, I think, the ORAN ONAP or 3GPP harmonization, general base use case, and the configuration person Z service. And that's why I started working on the documentation for that. The reason why I kind of stopped is because after the virtual face-to-face, I had a nice sort of Q&A on one of the sessions, or I kind of grilled them about some questions. And they actually gave me some advice. They said, if you're going to be your own separate project, you're going to have your own repo. And right now, all this stuff is under the integration repo. Ben,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, I think there's a misunderstanding. What in the virtual meeting they say that for this the repo that you need to have a /doc folder, mm-hmm. which contains certain RST file.
Yes.
That's more like the description of your projects.
Yes.
It will be end up in the different page. It will not be this page, because this page is this one you are sharing on the screen. Mm-hmm. This is for the integration repo. which they just want to document what has been implemented in the current release.
Yes.
So this is not a wiki page of your project. This is a separate thing.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I suspect that actually we'll be under, we won't be on this page. We'll be on the pages where, well, what's going on here? Where's the main, that's really strange. So what I mean is that basically there'll be, we'll have you see how like there's a main structure in ONAP? So maybe that's not the right place.
You're supposed to be under components, I think.
Yeah, here we go, okay. So yes. I think, you know, the configuration privacy service will be its own component and thus will have its own portal page, landing page, if you will. And so whatever document stuff we do now, I think it will be wasted because we're just going to move it all under this new portal landing page for the project, if that makes sense to you. So I think we should hold off until we decide if we know how we're going to do that, right? So if we are going to have our own project, it gets approved and we make our own repo, then as you say, the repo will have its own doc directory with its own RSTs. And then you can, so if you remember, yeah, I know you were right there at the meeting. So remember he told us how, I think it was Andreas Geisler, who told us about how there's branches and stuff. And you can see it in that. I go to the repo, so I'll just go to a repo. So right now, all the use cases right now are, they're not their own separate projects, right? So they're all basically under the integration repo. So if you go to integration and then you go to the branches and then you go to, these are the branches. So basically there's a master branch and then cutoffs off of the master branch to each of the individual releases, right? So if you look at in the branch, Zhu has mentioned is that, you know, there's different directories and one of them is the docs directory. And right now all the use cases are in the integration repo. And Andreas and Sophia both said all the use cases probably should have their own repo, not be under integration. Who knows when that'll happen? I don't know. But if you're going to be your own repo, which is what I was discussing with them, then you'll have control over, well, at least the configuration persistency service project will have control over what it is in their master branch and when they cut off stuff to different releases. So once that's set up, we can create a first master branch and then cut off an R6 branch just to kind of document what's there, and then add from there to what we think will be in R7 and so forth. So
Ben, do we know exactly what goes in read the doc documentation for each project? Because last in the Frankfurt, all we did was the user documentation, how to use and I'm not sure what exactly do we have to document for each use case.
So, you know, in theory, there's a separate thing going on also. So Sophia's vision is that all of the major description pages for the use cases should end up in RepoDocs eventually. So right now, like this is, I think, the main page for plug and play, right? It describes, it's the wiki that describes in great detail how plug and play works, right? So this is an example, for example, you wouldn't move things like meeting notes, right? That's not what they're trying to do. But things like this though, arguably should be in read the docs, right? Instead of just a link.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to do that. They talked about it on the, architecture subcommittee call date on this week. And also right as I left the TSC this morning, they were talking about it. and also the virtual face-to-face, they talked about it. But you know, I said, I made a comment in one of these meetings. I said, you know, in order for you to do that, you're not going to do that. There's only a few people on the integration team, and you're gonna need the use case people work in the use cases that do this, and most of the people have no idea how this is done, and it's a super heavyweight process. And Tracker totally agrees. I think he added, he joined in, chimed in and said, you know, this is a really heavyweight process, and you know, it's a lot of people just don't know how to do this, and it's got to go through lots of reviews and stuff, and it's a not trivial process for sure. So I think the vision, the long-term vision, and they told me they'd like to do this by R7, which I think that's a pipe dream. But they've, you know, the idea is to try to move all this stuff into the Read the Docs. So once you know how this is done, it's not super hard. I mean, I could probably do this. I mean, it does take some knowledge of how to move the graphics in and stuff. I'm not too familiar with tables yet, though, so that's one thing that I'm not so familiar about with. But you know, once you do it, especially if you've come from a Unix background like I did, it's, you know, and you know VI, for example, it makes it a lot easier. So I think, I personally think it's, if you really want to do this, it's going to take several releases, and you're going to have to get much more involved with educating people of how this is going to happen. And I've tried to help them along. Like I've scheduled a thing with Sophia, and this is still a tentative date, by the way. So and she's not that responsive either, which makes it not so easy to schedule stuff with her. So I've said, you know, if you want the people to do this, you are going to have to help people walk through the process and how to. And I myself have just started creating slides to do that, right? So I've created some slides, which eventually I'll help people also walk through. They're probably more detailed, actually, than anything that Sophia has. But basically, you know, the first time you do it, you're going to install Git and then Python. And then get a review and setting up your SSH key. These are just one-time activities, but they're not trivial things. It's quite involved, right? So, and then you have to log into Garrett and so forth. But so anyway, we'll go through this later, but just to give you a quick sense of some of the things that needs to happen for this. So it's a really, really involved process, at least for the very first time you do it, at least. So anyway, those are some things that are going to happen. I don't know when all of the docs will be their own repo. So they agreed that they should be their own repo, but who knows when that'll happen. So that's some of the thoughts from the Read the Docs team. Any questions on that? Okay. All right, so let's see. Kind of talked about that. Oh, okay, conferences. So the, I don't know, Vimal, will you want to share your thoughts on what you thought about the virtual face-to-face?
I thought it went well. There were multiple sessions. Sometimes there were overlaps where you wanted to cover more than one, but I think it was pretty effective.
Anybody else want to share their thoughts or comments or feelings? Okay, great. I also thought it went very well. So we presented at the 5G and PNF use case team. Everybody had input. For those of you who were on the call, I had you speak on your particular use case. and I presented the other ones that weren't present. I thought that presentation went really well. You can download the slides. You can listen to the recording, and I took notes of who, the attendance and the Q&A that we got. There were a lot of good discussion and questions from that. All this call is also quite good. So lots and lots of people gave presentations there about many of the requirements that happened. the licensing management, you'll notice, is not present because they just presented on this past Monday on the requirements call. 5G NRM is not there. There's a couple things that aren't here, but many of the requirements are there. And you'll notice that some things are grouped together, like the ETSI alignment that groups together like 8 of the requirements, right? which is what I would normally call a use case. So this is a recording there, and all this thing was split up into two tracks. So there was another track for her call here. So there was just a couple other presentations that didn't make the first, that couldn't make the first day here, and you can listen to the recording. If you haven't filled out the survey, you might want to click on this SurveyMonkey survey, and it basically is a survey so you can give people feedback of what you thought and ask you, do you have suggestions how to make it better, and da 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 da. So Kiko was new, and I couldn't ever, I didn't join any Holly meetings, so that whole piece for me didn't work. There just wasn't didn't feel effective at all. The whole use of Kiko chat and things with the Zoom was confusing. I was talking with Marge about that, and yeah, it was just confusing for me. I mean, for me, all I essentially did was just like, I just clicked on these ONAP bridges and just joined the meetings I wanted to join. So I don't know that we really got quite an effective use out of whatever they were trying to do there. And they did say it was experimental. There is a meeting, as Vimal stated earlier, there's a meeting intended to be in June. It's supposed to be a 5-day meeting instead of a 3-day meeting. Again, probably on 3 hours, a 3-hour block each day, because it's a time that fits around the world. So nobody is up before, I think, 6 a.m. and nobody is out and about too late. So that's why there's this sort of critical window, and that's why if you look on the calendar, there's so many meetings in this three-hour block of 3 hours. so in the spring and in the fall is usually where there's conferences to plan the next release. So this one was focused obviously on R7, Guilin, and the one in fall will be focused on Honolulu, AR8. But the June and the ones in between, the June and the winter ones, the summer and winter ones, are usually aimed at taking deep dives into technical topics and use cases and stuff. So I feel like because this, originally actually the RC0, sign-off for R6 was May 4th. And it's been pushed out by a whole month. So I think just a month later to have this next virtual face-to-face, I think feels a little early to me. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Okay. So let me see if there's other sort of things we need to cover. I have about 10 minutes. Does anybody have a specific topic they'd like to talk about or present? Otherwise, maybe we can just dive into some of the things we have currently going on. Okay. If not, then let me just communicate some of the things that are happening. So Joanne and I and others and Tony and Zoo and Twain are working on this conversion persistency service project proposal to the TSC. Joanne had a good idea. Who's on the call? Actually, had a good idea yesterday to actually maybe have two tracks. So one track being the continuation of stuff in R6 and the other track of the stuff in R7. So Joanne, for the presentation, what I did was I broke it into two tracks to continue the stuff from R6 and the new component as two separate tracks. So I think it'll be clear in the architecture subcommittee review that they're two separate things, and I think on the page, if you go to the our page, I've started working on some of these pages, but so we can make that clear also that there's two major tracks. So so for example, for the plug and play stuff, we can have like two development status tables, one for extending our six stuff and one for the new project. So I think what you have suggested was a good idea, and we can address that also in some of the in the wiki page.
So just for my clarification, when you say two track, it's two separate, the requirement JR ticket and the running parallel?
Yeah, I think we should probably have two separate requirement tickets. I think one, I mean, knock on wood, I hope that the, you know, that we get approved by the TSC, that our, we'll be able to get our project off the ground and stuff. But I think we should not stop, we shouldn't completely not deliver anything if that doesn't happen, right? I mean, I think we have a workable, functional thing. It's just that it's in CCSDK, so it's kind of like a kludge sort of right now. But Joanne suggested, you know, we should just at least continue that. Otherwise, we're not going to deliver anything if we don't have it. You know, it's also, I'm not sure how far along in the project we'll get it as its own project, right? So it, there's a lot of learning that the team, and there's a lot of new people, there's a lot of learning that we need to do to make that happen.
So what's going to happen that if you have the R7 component agreed by the TSC, mm-hmm. we're still doing the R6 things in current CCSDK and expecting to merge those functionality together in R8 or something like that? Or
so I think we should probably discuss that as a group. I don't know. I don't know an answer to that, actually.
So basically do that. We just brainstorm, right? We go to TSC to say separate component in the own app, right? And it takes time to approve. We don't know when they're going to approve, right? But that we approve, we still can switch. Right now, it's configuration persistency, right? It's a database, it's microservice. Either right now you're onboarding to the CCSDK or you run be independent consultant. At least in the near term, this couple release wouldn't be big deal. The big deal is the TSC say, oh, we can be the independent component. So now we can just switch as an independent component and of the R7. If not, we still deliver something in the CCSDK on the microservice. We can talk about in tomorrow, right? Okay. At least we have something as a microservice deliver for the configuration related information.
Okay, that is fine. I do understand there's a risk for this independent component to be approved. I do understand that. I just try to understand if once both track has been approved, how are we going to manage it?
It's a very good question. Yeah. That's a very good question.
If we prove that, then say our we just break down for the to just the only thing different between the SDNC to the even the R6, right? They for the CCSDK they treat the ConfigDB, it's a loose couple. It's not say we can break up anytime based on their architecture in place. We can still one do now. We still confirm when we do these things. We still can. We can call a meeting with the Urine and the Dan to make sure we still have loose coupling on the CCSDK.
Yeah, it is a very good question, Sue. So we'll figure it out. I think is the answer. But it's definitely something we need to consider. Obviously, as when we get to that bridge.
Sorry, that's a related question. I think last time we discussed to invite other people to join this random DB meeting to present this overlapping things that like the song use cases. Is that in the plan or?
So I have reached out to them and there's some interest in doing that. So I think we'll see on Friday if that happens. So I was just on the call today. There was the end-to-end network slicing. They have a now weekly meeting actually.
So in the morning, Monday, or
it was today. Oh. Yeah, it was just today. I'll add you to the thing. So they were. There was a lot they had to talk about, so I only got two minutes to talk about, and I was a little more concerned that they didn't have a page yet. So in the 1 or 2 minutes I got to speak, I said, you guys need to put a I think they didn't have it's there yet, or I mentioned about this and then network slicing the architecture subcommittee reviews and stuff. So okay. Anyway,
Ben, would you be able to, I think I invite to last week, right? Last week, I was in the Sun use case meeting. I invite to Shankar and and the Swami to, you know, ComputerDB meeting, your meeting.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's good for you to send an email invite to ask them to join.
Sure. So yeah.
Your action actually will be done, you know, if they can join.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Johan, so that's for the Sun use case meeting. I found there's one called the Sun use case meeting. There's another one called 5G PCI. Is that the same meeting or different?
It's a PCI, Sun is the same meeting.
Same meeting.
Like, they count the change the name.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's one meeting. It's not two meetings.
Yeah, so cause new name, I think, called Wufu Sun. Used to be called PCI RSI.
Yeah.
Oh, is that in Friday?
Friday, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the same one, okay.
Eastern Standard Time, yeah. Okay, so I don't know, Zhu, if you can maybe reach out to Michaela or Oscar. We need pages for the PM control extension and the A1 adapter extension. We don't have pages for those yet.
Okay. I will let them know.
Yeah. Okay. And also please let them know to use this template that we're supposed to be using at the bottom here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you. all right. So, let me see. We just have 2 minutes left. So I guess Marge and Vimal, maybe also for the architecture reviews, you want to reach out to Michaela and, to coordinate the, I don't know if you want to present at the same time as the A1 adapter extension, but
I think they're fairly different, but I will reach out to Michaela. Yeah. I actually have to go because I'm going to be hosting another meeting.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Marge. Yeah. But you probably at least want to sync and talk.
Yes. I will reach out to her.
That would be great. Thanks. Okay. So we just have a minute left. Are there any other thoughts, closing thoughts that we have? Anybody wants to talk about anything? Otherwise, maybe we should just close here. I think we've covered a lot today. Okay, let's close here. All right. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And again, you can follow the links, and I'll upload the recording at the end of the call. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Stay safe.